नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो द सेकंड सेशन ऑफ बृहद भागवतामृतम सेमिनार। सो एज आई मेंशन दिस मॉर्निंग Brihad Bhagavatamritam is actually an elaborate presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essential teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam has been presented. And what is the ultimate conclusion, what is the ultimate understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam? The ultimate understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsha kala pungsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has many incarnations. But Bhagavatam is describing that all these incarnations are amsa or expansions and kala, expansions of expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ete changsha kala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Shri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God, Swayam Bhagavan. Brahma Samhita also makes the same point. In this respect, it's important to notice that just as Bhagavatam is the expansion, Brihad Bhagavatam is the expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhita is a summary of Srimad. The teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam has been presented in the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. So this point, ete changsha kala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam, Shri Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of God. And Brahma Samhita also is making the same point. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Vataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanjo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Ramadi Murtishu, Ram Adi, Lord Sri Ramchandra and others like Nrisingha, Varaha, Kurma, they are Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan, is the expansion of the expansion. Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanjo, but Krishna is the original Supreme Personality. Brahma Samhita in this respect is making another very beautiful point. Through the verse, Deeparchi Rebahi Dasantaram Abhupetya Deepayati Vibrita Hetu Samana Dharma. Just as one lamp lights different other lamps, Deeparichirevahi dasantaram appupetta deepayati. And vibrita hetu samana dharma. They all display the same quality. One lamp lights the other lamps, and when they're lit, all the lamps are giving out the same amount of light and heat. So similarly, the expansions or incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-different. Non-different. Same. But still, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally resides in Golok. Goloko namni nijadhamni. His original abode is Golok. Golok is being described. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpavriksha. That place Golok is made of chintamani, touchstone. Dhruma bhumish chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpavriksha. It's a forest full of trees, but all those trees are desire trees, kalpa vrikshas. Not ordinary trees, they're all desire trees. And as I was describing, that one such desire tree Indra has in heaven. In his Nandan Kanan, Indra has this desire tree. And that gives out flowers. What's the name of those flowers? Parijata. Now, not only the desire tree can fulfill all the desires, but even one Parijata flower can fulfill all desires. Whatever wants, can ask the Parijata flower, and he'll get it. Now, in the heavenly planet, there is one such Kalpavriksha. But Vrindavan is made of, it's a forest, and that all the trees in that forest are kalpavrikshas. Kalpavriksha lakshavritesu. Millions and millions of such kalpavrikshas are there. And surabhir abhipalayantam. Krishna there is tending the cows, and all these cows are surabhi cows. They're all surabhi cows. Surabhi's daughter is here. In this universe. Vashishtha Muni has that cow. Surabhi's daughter is Nandini. And we can consider that the ability of this cow. Do you all know the story of Nandini and Vashishtha and Vishwamitra? No? How many of you want to hear that story? Okay. Vashishtha Muni, a great sage, one of the seven topmost sages. Vashishtha. Vashishtha Muni has this cow, Nandini. And Vishwamitra, the king, at that time, Vishwamitra was a Kshatriya king. While hunting in the forest with his soldiers, he came to Vashishtha's ashram. He was tired. Seeing him, Vashishtha said, please go take your bath and I'll arrange for some lunch for you. So Vishwamitra thought, in the forest, what kind of lunch they'll arrange? Maybe some fruits and some roots at the most. But after taking the bath, when they came, they found an elaborate dinner has been arranged, not only him, but all his entourage, all his soldiers, and all his accompanying personalities. And such an arrangement that Vishwamitra, although he was a king, he couldn't even imagine. He was surprised to see that. Like all golden plates and golden bowls, golden glasses, And then when he tasted the food, he felt that he never tasted such food in his whole life, although he was a king. Such delicious food and served in such an amazing way, it was even amazing for a king, monarch. So Vishwamitra asked, how did you make this arrangement? Is it with your mystic power that you made that arrangement? Vasishtha said, no, I have a cow. And whatever I ask her, whatever I ask from her, she gives it to me. Oh, that cow made that arrangement? Yes. She doesn't only give food, give milk, but she can arrange anything that I want. So Vishwamitra said, you are living in a forest, you are a sadhu, you are a saint, you are a rishi. So why do you need that cow? Give it to me. This cow has better utility for me. Vasishtha said, look, this cow is like my daughter and I can't give her away. And so Vishwamitra pleaded, I'll give you 1,000 cows, I'll give you 100,000 cows. Give me this cow. Vasishtha didn't agree. So finally Vishwamitra became very angry. See, you are a saintly person. Why are you so greedy? Why are you so possessive? You should be detached. And then he ordered his soldiers, now take this cow forcibly away from this person. So he had many soldiers, he had his whole army. So they went and got hold of Nandini and tried to take her away forcibly. With tears in her eyes, Nandini appealed to Vasishtha. Look, in front of your eyes, they are tormenting your daughter in this way. And you are not protesting. Vasishtha said, I am a Brahmana. I can't take to violence. But if you want, you can defend yourself. Nandini was just waiting for this order. And immediately, Nandini produced another army, which defeated Vishwamitra's army and drove them away. She could not only produce milk, she could not only produce delicious food with beautiful paraphernalia, but she could even generate one army of soldiers. So this is a Surabhi cow. Nandini is also Surabhi. Surabhi's daughter in this planet. So this is how we can see what a Surabhi cow is like. And Krishna is tending hundreds of thousands of cows. And all those cows are, each and every single cow is a Surabhi cow. Surabhir Abhipalayantam. There in Vrindavan, Krishna is sporting with the gopis. Lakshmi Shahasra Sata Sambhrama Sevvamanam. All those gopis, each and every gopi is a Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambhrama Sevvamanam. So this is the description of the spiritual world where Krishna resides. So that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his first expansion is Balaram. Then, Chaturguha of Dwarka, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha of Dwarka. Chaturguha, Then from this Sankarshan expands the Narayans of Vaikuntha. Narayan also has Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And from this Sankarshan expands Mahavishnu, who lies in the causal ocean, Karanadakshai Vishnu. So all these detailed descriptions of the spiritual world is there in the scriptures. Especially Srimad Bhagavatam and the Satata Puranas and different Samhitas like Garga Samhita. And also Brahma Samhita is giving the, Brahma is describing the spiritual sky and Krishna's position there. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to become a devotee of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life for a human being is to become a devotee of Krishna. And when one develops that devotion for Krishna, his life becomes successful. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. It begins with that. The spiritual inquiry. Brahma Jigyasa. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is elaborately explaining that. Bhagavatam describes all these different aspects gradually taking to the ultimate, which is considered to be Samam Bonam. Bhagavatam has 10 symptoms. 10 symptoms. Swarga, Visharga, creation. Just as I mentioned, creation begins. Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, from his breathing comes each universe. When you breathe underwater, what happens? Bubbles are generated. So each bubble that is caused by Mahavishnu's breathing is an universe. And then he expands in each of these universes, Brahmanda, as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. The inside of that bubble was empty. So he filled up half of that with water from his body. From his body he generated water. And he filled up half of the universe. And then he lies there on the bed of Anantashesha. From his navel comes out one lotus. And Brahma, the first created being, is situated on that lotus. So this is the initial aspect of creation, Sarga, primary creation. Then Visarga. Then Brahma takes over the responsibility to fill up this universe. So that is the secondary creation. Swarga, Atra, Sarga, Visargascha, Sthanam, the situation of different planetary systems. Each universe has 14 planetary systems, 7 higher and 7 lower. Chaturdash Bhuvanatmakam. Bhuvan, this universe, has 14 planetary systems. And so the descriptions of that is there. Different planetary systems. We are situated on Bhurloka, earth planet. Then above that is Bhubarloka. Then Sargaloka. Bhur, Bhuba, Swa, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. And then there are seven lower planetary systems. Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal, Patal. Seven lower planetary systems. So this description is Thanam. Then Poshanam, how the Lord is maintaining everything, has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sthanam Poshanam Utayo, creative propensity. Manvantar, the reign of different Manus. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus that come and rule over. And with the appearance and with the appearance of Manu comes a set of demigods, devas, set of maharshis. So, they all come. Like this is the seventh Manvantara called Vaivarshata Manvantara, the reign of Vaivarshata Manu. Son of Vivashan, the sun god. And in this, Purandar is Indra. And in the next one, next Manvantara, there will be, Bali Maharaj will become Indra. So this is how the set of demigods will change. So very vivid descriptions are there. Manvantara Ishanu Katha, the activities of Lord's pastimes. Then Nirodh Muktir Ashraya and Nirodha, cessation of material existence, liberation from material world, and Ashraya, the supreme shelter. The ultimate goal is, in this way has been established, the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the same thing is being described in Brahma Samhita. And the same thing is extensively described in Brihad Bhagavatam. And this morning we discussed the first chapter. First chapter was earthly planet. The devotees in earthly planet, in this earth planet. Narad Muni is searching for the greatest devotee. The recipient of Krishna's mercy. The greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. He sees a Brahmana and he thinks that this Brahmana, who is worshipping the Lord so wonderfully, utilizing everything that he possesses, he must be the greatest devotee. But when he started to glorify the Brahmana, Brahmana declined. He said, no, I am not a devotee. I am just an ordinary person, ordinary Brahmana. Worshipping the Lord is my duty. Therefore, I am worshipping this Shalagram. And as far as my opulence is concerned, what do you see my opulence? Whatever little I have, with that I am serving the Lord. But if you really want to see the greatness of a devotee, then please go to this kingdom in South India. And the king there is such a great devotee. And he described why he is such a great devotee. He is so opulent. He has so much power and ability. And with all that, he is serving the Lord in the most gorgeous way. So Narad Muni immediately goes there and starts to glorify that king as the greatest devotee. But the king was feeling very embarrassed. And he said, who am I? Just an ordinary human being. You're speaking about my opulence with which I am serving the Lord, but what's my opulence? And what is my ability? Short span of life, a very little position. But if you really want to see the service to the Lord in grandeur and opulence, then go to heavenly planet and see how Indra is serving the Lord. And the Lord is so merciful to Indra that he has become his younger brother. And Indra directly receives his offerings with his own hands. So, immediately he became attracted to see the Lord as younger brother of Indra, who is directly receiving the worship of Indra. So he goes there and he starts to... So here we go. This is the beginning of the second chapter. So, when Narad Muni heard about the description of heavenly planet, how wonderful the demigods are with their brilliant, effulgent bodies, endless life, inconceivable power, and their king is Indra, so powerful, so capable, so opulent. So he immediately goes there. Narad Muni has the ability to travel anywhere he wants, and that also with the speed of mind. Speed of mind means Narad Muni just wants to be somewhere and he immediately transported there. What a wonderful ability. So this is how the great devotees acquire inconceivable mystic power. So after praising the great king, Narad Muni made his way to heaven. There in the assembly hall, he saw Lord Vishnu in all his brilliance, surrounded by hosts of demigods. He was decorated with sandalwood pulp, various beautiful ornaments and garments, and a garland made of varied flowers from desired trees, Parijata flowers, as I was mentioning. Sitting comfortably on the back of Garuda, he was worshipped with celestial offerings. Brihaspati and other exalted sages praised his glories. Brihaspati and other sages were singing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, present there as the son of Mother Aditi Vamandev. And Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Apsaras and Gandharvas, they were recited prayers. And in this way they are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord also was specifying Indra. Indra, you don't have to worry about anything. You need not be afraid of anything. I will take care of you in all respects. From this assurance, we can also understand that when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, Lord gives him that assurance. Whether he can hear it or not, the Lord gives him that assurance. Don't worry, I will take care of you. He assured him not to be afraid of the daityas and the Lord is there always to protect him. And constantly chanting the glory of the Lord, Indra described the great joy and ways of the Lord had helped him in the past. Indra, in response, described, "Oh, yes, my Lord, you have saved me in so many situations. Like one after another, I had so many calamities. So many demons have attacked me. Bali Maharaj attacked me, took over my kingdom, but you came and rescued me. You took away kingdom of Bali from Bali and gave it back to me. You protected me from the onslaught and attacks of Vritrasura." In this way, Indra also started to describe how wonderfully Lord had protected him time and time again. In this way, Indra was sitting next to the Lord on his throne. And after that, the Lord left that place and Indra followed him for some distance and then returned to the assembly hall where Narada greeted him. Narad Muni started to glorify Indra. Narad Muni told him, "You have surely received the Supreme Lord's mercy. Because demigods like Surya, Chandra and Yama, what to speak of other rulers of planets, all obey your orders. Sages like me are your subjects." Narad Muni admitted that he is a subject of Indra. He is a Devarshi. He is a sage among demigods, devtas. And Indra is the king of the devas. Therefore, Narad Muni admitted that he is his subject. "And Vedas praise you as the Lord of the universe, for you bestow the fruits of religion and irreligion." How wonderful that Lord Narayan has become your brother, younger brother, born of the same womb. Honoring the ways of civilized life, he always treats you with respect. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because by mundane relationship, you are his elder brother, he shows respects to you. He treats you like his elder brother. In this way, Narad Muni started to glorify Indra. And Indra, after receiving Narad Muni, accordingly, in a very humble way, he said, "My dear Narad, expert in the arts of Gandharva, why are you making fun of me? You are telling me that I am the greatest devotee. But actually, this is not true. It sounds as if you are making fun of me. One of them, demigods have had to flee heaven in fear of the Daityas. The Daityas attacked and so many times the demigods had to run away from heavenly planet. One of them, Bali, once took over my kingdom as Indra. Bali took over the heavenly planet and he became Indra. And he appointed different daityas as Surya, Chandra, Varuna, controller of different affairs of the universe. And what was happening? All the demigods were driven away. They're hiding in different places. So, and then seeing Indra's distressful condition, Aditi performed Payavrata ceremony. Payavrata, brata, vow. And as a result of that, Bamandev appeared and Bamandev took away heavenly planet from Bali Maharaj and gave it back to Indra. And Indra said that that was actually not an honor, but it was an insult. For my sake, the Lord had to cheat Bali Maharaj. He had to tell lie to him. He went to Bali Maharaj and said, Bali Maharaj was performing a yajna. After the yajna, he was distributing whatever anybody wanted. And this Brahmana boy comes, a small little boy. And just seeing that boy, Bali Maharaj's heart melted. Who is this boy? And he felt that for his sake I can give everything away. And Bali Maharaj asked the Brahmana boy, so tell me, my young boy, what do you want? He said, all I want is 3 steps of land. Just 3 steps of land. You have come to Bali, who is famous for his generosity. And from him you are asking just 3 steps of land? About 7.5 feet land or 9 feet land? He said, yes, that's sufficient. That's 3 steps of land is good enough for one to lie down. So all we need is just to lie down. What is the need for anything else? No, you ask for something else. You ask for the land, you can ask for cows, you can ask for gold, you can ask for anything. Bali Maharaj, Sir Bamandev said, you see, the more we want, the more we become greedy. Therefore, it is better not to ask for anything. Just be satisfied with whatever we got. Be satisfied with the bare minimum. Because once you allow yourself to get more and more, then you'll find that there is no end to it. So finally, Bali Maharaj agreed to fulfill the desire of this Brahmana boy. Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, he felt something is wrong. The Brahmanas generally are greedy. Now this Brahmana boy wants just three steps of land. So he told Bali, don't grant him that boon. I suspect he is Hari himself, Narayan himself. He has come to deceive you. His favorite Narayan, Hari is favorable to the demigods. And he considers you to be his enemy. So in order to favor the demigods, he has come to take away your kingdom. And this is just his ploy. 3 steps of land. I don't want anything else. 3 steps of land is good enough. What's the point in giving vent to greed? Because it will keep on increasing more and more. Something is wrong with this character. So Bali Maharaj's response was, Narayan came to me to ask for something. I am prepared to give everything to him. Because that's the ultimate goal of life. So here we can see that Narayan, the Bali Maharaj is situated in proper knowledge. Offering everything to Narayan, offering oneself to Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate goal of life. So he said, I'm prepared to give everything to him. No, Bali, don't do that. He'll take everything away from you. You don't have anything left. So Bali said, no. If Narayan came to me asking for something, I'm prepared to give him everything to him, whatever he wants. Now, before chant, before granting the boon, one has to do achaman. Take water and sip it to cleanse his vocal channel. So, Sukracharya, in order to not let Bali Maharaj do the achaman and then grant the boon, he entered into the water pot and blocked the neck of the water pot so the water wouldn't come. So Bali Maharaj trying, what's the matter? Water is not coming out of the water pot. Bamandev said, let me see what is holding it, what is blocking the water pot. So he took a kusha grass and poked it, and Sukracharya's eyes became blinded with the poking of the Lord's with kusha grass. He, with a scream, he came out. That's why Sukracharya is blinded by one eye. And Bali Maharaj granted that. Three steps of land. With one step, he covered all the 14 planetary systems. The next step, he covered the entire space. So much so that his toe touched the outer covering of the universe. And because his toe touched the outer covering of the universe, that covering cracked. And the water from causal ocean came down, washing the feet of the Lord. Bamandev's feet was washed by that water, and that is how Ganga came to this world. He asked for three steps. Now everything has been covered with just two steps. Where shall I put my third step? Bali Maharaj offered his head. So that is the devotion of Bali Maharaj. Although he is a daitya, he is considered to be one of the greatest Mahajan. Sayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Prahlada, Janaka, Vyas, and Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma. And last is Vaiyashaki, Balir, Bayam. Sukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, is another Mahajan. So this is how the Lord deceived Bali Maharaj, took away his kingdom, and he banished him to Sutala Loka. And he wanted to offer something in exchange. And the Lord said, okay, I'll become your gatekeeper. Bali Maharaj, the Lord became, Narayan became Bali Maharaj's gatekeeper in Sutala Loka. So anyway, so this is how Indra was protected. But Indra felt that it was embarrassing that the Lord had to come and for my sake he had to undergo all this deception to take the kingdom away from Bali Maharaj. And Indra admitted that we residents of heaven are tainted with faults like rivalry and jealousy. And for such acts as killing brahmanas, we get entangled in the reactions of sin. So this morning the question came up, in Sargaloka, the heavenly planets, the demigods are sinless. But yes, they can commit sin, and as a result of that sin, they lose their right to stay in the heavenly planet. And that's what happened. Like Tashta, Indra killed Tashta, and as a result of that, he had to acquire sin. Although he distributed those sins to different aspects of the creation, but after all, it was sin and he had to suffer. And then Indra started to lament. Don't you remember what I did? When the Lord was performing his Govardhan worship, instead of my worship, I became so envious that I tried to destroy Vrindavan. So you saying that I am the recipient of Lord's mercy, the way I act sometimes is so disgusting, so abominable, and you are saying that I am the devotee of the Lord. When the Lord was entreated to kill Vritra, was devouring the three worlds, the Lord responded indifferently, merely sending me on his behalf. He did not go. And here Indra admitted that he accepts my worship on the strength of our parents. Our parents' devotion actually qualifies us to receive some of his mercy. It's because of my parents, their devotion of Kashyapa and Aditi, that the Lord bestows his mercy, whatever little mercy he bestows upon me. So in this way, Indra started to admit that he is not such a great devotee. Then he started to admit that real great devotee, real recipient of Lord's mercy is Brahma. And he started to describe why Brahma is the greatest devotee. And he mentioned that he's directly the son of Lord Vishnu. He came directly from the Lord's navel. And the duration of his life is so great that in a day of Brahma, 14 Indras come and go. In one day of Brahma, 14 Indras come. 14 Manus come, and along with the Manus, as I mentioned, comes a whole entourage, Manus group of demigods, Indra, Chandra, Varun, the Rishis, and so forth. So, and this is how Brahma's lifespan is 1,000 Chaturyuga. In 1,000 Chaturyuga, 14 Indras come and go. And the same is the length of his night. 1,000 Chaturyuga, Brahma's day, 1,000 Chaturyugas, Brahma's night. In that calculation, there are 365 days in a year of Brahma. And Brahma lives for 100 such years. That is the span of Brahma's life. Brahma is the creator of all planets. And the rulers, he assigns them. He is the world's chief protector, the dispenser of fruits of karma, and at the onset of his night, the destroyer of the world. When Brahma falls asleep, the whole world, whole creation is destroyed. All the way up to heavenly planet, everything gets destroyed. The higher planetary systems like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka are not destroyed, but the residents of there, those planets fall asleep. And they again wake up when Brahma wakes up. The Mahapurusha, the thousand-headed form of the Lord, is always directly visible on Brahma's planet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahapurusha, is always present in Brahma's planet, personally accepting the countless oblations offered him and thus always giving delight to his devotees. And then Indra said that I can give you thousands of such other reasons why Brahma is the real object of Krishna's mercy. So hearing that, Narad Muni wanted to go and meet Brahma. So when he came to Satyaloka, Brahma's abode, from a distance, Narad Muni heard the huge sound of many great sacrifices performed unceasingly. And with great devotion by the sages on Brahmaloka. And he saw among them the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, looking very much satisfied with their sacrifices and decorated with crowns and matted locks. And he was fulfilling the desires of those performers of sacrifices. To enliven lotus-born Brahma, the Lord consumed all the items offered to him, placing them in his thousand mouths with his thousand hands. After awarding the performers of the sacrifices, the benedictions they desired, Lord Mahapurusha went to his sleeping quarters as Goddess Lakshmi massaged his feet and he entered into his pastimes of sleep. At the Lord's request, Brahma then instructed his sons to continue the sacrifices while he went to his own royal court to deliberate on the management of the universe. Then Narad Muni started to glorify Brahma. Narad Muni said, "It is you who have truly received the mercy of the Lord Hari. After all, you are the master of all masters of the living beings of the universe and grandfather of all the worlds. You alone create, maintain, and devour the 14 worlds. You forever rule the universe and you are known as the self-born." So in this way, Narad Muni started to glorify Brahma, but Brahma became very upset with Narad Muni. Because Narad Muni is Brahma's son. So Brahma kind of checked his anger. He became angry, but he controlled his anger. Hearing what Narad was saying and rebuked Narad. Narad, on what authority do you speak like this? That I am the recipient of Krishna's mercy. I am not the recipient of Krishna's mercy. Haven't they constantly taught you from your childhood? Since you're a little boy, from your young age, didn't I tell you never to speak like that? Because Narad Muni considered Brahma to be the supreme. And Brahma then actually instructed Narad, no, I'm not the supreme. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So glorify Him. Recognize Him. I'm only His servant. And then Narad Muni, then Brahma started to describe that by Krishna's maya, I become deluded so often. I think that I am the controller, I am the grandfather, I am the spiritual master of the universe. Proud of my birth from Krishna's lotus navel, I think myself a great ascetic, His great worshipper. I am overwhelmed by the countless duties of universal management, worrying about the imminent destruction of my planet. I live in terror of the all-devouring end of time. All I want from my liberation. For this purpose of liberation, I engage others in worshipping the Lord and also worship Him myself. Since He is the Lord of the universe, is there any place where He does not reside? And you are saying that He directly accepts my sacrifice? He accepts my sacrifice. He accepts the sacrifice offered to me to promote Vedic teachings and show special favor to the sacrifices themselves. He loves only devotion. He shows His mercy only to His devotees, never to non-devotees. Forget about my having any devotion for Him. I would be happy if only I could, if it were true that I never offend Him. I cannot expect Him to tolerate my offenses as He does Lord Shiva's. See, all the trouble that I cause for Him, I give benediction to the demons, I give the benediction to Hiranyakashipu, and as a result of that, Hiranyakashipu became so powerful that he started to defy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and started to torment his devotee, Prahlad. And then the Lord had to come Himself to kill him. You call me a devotee. A devotee is a servant. He serves. But here I am causing the Lord anxiety and distress, and He comes to take care of the situation. Instead of I serving Him, I trouble Him. I cause distress to Him. So in this way, Brahma started to tell Narad that how he is not the greatest devotee. And he mentioned that Lord Shiva is the real devotee. So this is how we are seeing how Narad Muni's approach to one devotee is leading to another devotee. Brahma pointed out to Lord Shiva, why Lord Shiva is such a recipient of Lord's mercy? Because Lord Shiva is the friend. Krishna treats him like his friend. And Shiva is so attached to him that he doesn't have any external consciousness. He's completely absorbed in the service to the Lord, completely absorbed in glorifying the Lord, and completely absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord. Brahma also mentioned to how he actually offended the Lord by stealing his cowherd boys and the cows. He challenged him. He thought, who is this little boy? I was so proud of my position as Brahma that I failed to recognize the Lord when he was performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. Brahma saw that this little boy, just 7 years old at that time. No, not even 7 years old. Krishna was 5 years old at that time. 5 going to 6. And he killed this terrible demon, Aghasura. Aghasura was so powerful that even the demigods couldn't control him, couldn't kill him. Rather, demigods, just by hearing his name, they would tremble in fear. And that Aghasura was killed by this little boy. So who is this boy? Brahma wondered. Let me see who that boy is. And then Brahma saw that with the cowherd boys, Krishna went to the bank of Jamuna, and there he is sharing the food with them, having a picnic on the bank of Jamuna. And in the picnic, some of the boys, they ate the food and liked it so much. They said, Krishna, Krishna, see what my mother made for me, so delicious. And Krishna is eating that. Their remnants, their jutha, which is considered to be impure, unclean. And Brahma felt that my Lord Narayan will never eat such a remnants of others, and no one will ever dare to offer him. And they were treating him in such a way, Brahma was completely surprised. Some boy was saying, so one boy gave it to Krishna. Krishna took that and he kept it on his plate. The other boy thought, let me also taste it. He's saying it's so, and Krishna was praising, oh really, it's so delicious. Your mother is a fantastic sweet maker. And then one boy said, oh, let me also have the taste. Said, Krishna, Krishna, look at that bird on the tree. And when Krishna looked, he took that sweet away from Krishna's plate. So Brahma Singha was completely bewildered. What's happening? This cannot be Narayan, my Lord. No one will ever treat my Lord in this way. My Lord will never reciprocate in this way, react in this way. Brahma thought, let me see who this is. So Brahma stole the cows, the calves, put him on the cave. And all of a sudden the cowherd boys saw that all the calves are missing. So they became worried. What happened to the calves? Krishna said, don't worry. You all keep on eating. I'll go and find out. They may have gone inside the forest. Don't worry, I'll bring them back. So Krishna goes to look for the calves. He couldn't find any of the calves. And now, when he came back, he found all those cowherd boys are also gone. So Brahma stole the cowherd boys also. So Krishna then realized, oh Brahma, you're trying to check me out? Okay, check me out. So, immediately expanded himself into all the cowherd boys and into all the calves. Brahma put those cowherd boys and the calves in a cave, blocked the mouth of the cave, and as he turned, he found all the cows and all the cowherd boys were there, having the picnic in the same way. Brahma looked back. What happened? And all the cows and the cowherd boys are fast asleep in the cave. Brahma put them into yoga nidra. Now he looked back again. Then he sees all these cowherd boys and all the cows are expansions of Krishna. They all are Narayan. In place of the cowherd boys and the calves, Brahma saw Narayan. So he realized his mistake. My God, what did I do? I offended my Lord. So in this way, Brahma felt so guilty that I have offended my Lord. And you are saying that I am the recipient of his mercy. And the Brahma started to describe the glory of Lord Shiva. He's so absorbed with the devotion to the Lord that he is, seems that he's always intoxicated in ecstasy. In his ecstasy, he looks like he's always intoxicated. He moves about like a madman. He doesn't care for anything. He doesn't even care to dress himself. He doesn't care to even have a home. He lives under a tree in a crematorium. And on his head he carries Ganga, because Ganga is carrying the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. He's such a great devotee. And by the grace of the Lord, Lord Shiva and Parvati can even grant benediction, grant liberation to the living entities. And those who live in Lord Shiva's planet, they all are liberated souls. By his mercy, so many persons have become liberated, and even pure devotees of Krishna. So in this way, he started to glorify Lord Shiva, and he or Brahma started to tell that actually the Puranas sing, Puranas glorify Lord Shiva, and the Lord's Hari's mercy upon Lord Shiva. You surely know all of this and more. Lord Brahma said, in this way, Brahma started to glorify Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. And then Narad Muni then wanted to go and see Lord Shiva. So he goes to the abode of Lord Shiva, and in this way he goes to the Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, and started to glorify him. Well, actually, see, Brihad Bhagavatamritam is very vast. So, I'm wondering how am I going to cover it. Like, practically out of two sessions, I have only come to the third chapter. Now, the first part only has seven chapters. So anyway, let me quickly go through this one, the third chapter. So in this way, Narad Muni goes to Shiva Loka, who just finished worshipping Lord Shankarshan. And in ecstatic love, Lord Shiva was dancing and loudly singing the glories of his Lord, while his associates were playing instrumental music and shouting Jai Jai. With great affection, he praised his assistants like Nandishwar. as well as the goddess Uma, who was expertly clapping her hands. Narad Muni came closer, hoping to touch the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. But when Lord Shiva realized that Narad is about to touch his feet, he jumped out and he forcibly embraced Narad Muni. And Shiva then stopped his playful dancing and sat down, and with great respect, Narad Muni bowed down to Lord Shiva, the life and soul of Parvati, and chanted the 6-syllable Rudra Mantra. The Narad Muni then started to glorify Lord Shiva, calling him the best of the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva has been described as Vaishnavanam Jathasambhu. Of all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the greatest. But when Lord Shiva heard that, he covered his ears. He said, Narada, please don't speak like that. That's blasphemy. I'm not a devotee of the Lord. I am not the Lord of the universe, nor an object of Krishna's mercy. I am just a poor soul, always hankering for the favor of the servants of his servants. And Lord Shiva is such a great devotee that he is always glorifying other devotees. It has been described why Lord Shiva is smearing his body with the ashes. It is the ashes of the Vaishnavas that he smears in his body. When a Vaishnava dies, when his body is cremated, Lord Shiva takes that ashes and smears his body with that. He takes their bones and makes a garland. He wears that. So this is how Lord Shiva is always, as he is saying, that he is trying to receive the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And then Narad told him, hasn't Krishna worshipped you many times in his various incarnations and taken from you many boons? Yes, Krishna sometimes has worshipped Lord Shiva. Sometimes asked for boons from Lord Shiva. But hearing this, Lord Shiva could no longer maintain his gravity. Ashamed, he sprang to his feet, covered Narada's mouth with both hands and said, don't even mention that arrogance of mine. He then boldly told Narad, with surprise in his voice, just see the most incomprehensible power of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It's the pastimes of the Lord that he acted in this way. My Lord is so sober, he is such a deep and varied ocean of great qualities. Even though I have committed many kinds of offenses against him, he still does not reject me. Seeing Lord Shiva completely absorbed in transcendental taste of pure devotion to Krishna, Narad, pleased beyond limit, grasped Lord Shiva's feet, made him sit down again and spoke to appease him. Narad Muni said, you are so dear to Lord Achyuta. Is it possible that you could ever offend him? Though people sometimes see what they think are your offenses, he never sees them at all. Then Lord Shiva actually mentioned about how he fought against Krishna to support Vanasura, and how he also sided with Kashiraj when Krishna fought with him. And he admitted that, "I became so bewildered, I failed to recognize him." So then Lord Shiva started to tell him, actually the greatest devotee are the residents of Vaikuntha. And he started to glorify the residents of Vaikuntha. The Lord is always with them. They are the greatest devotee. They are Lord's constant companion. They reside with the Lord. They have the same form as the Lord. And they are always receiving the mercy of the Lord in such a wonderful way. Hearing that, Parvati told that, yes, among the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. And Lord Shiva mentioned that the residents of Vaikuntha have Satchidananda bodies, and many avail themselves of the supreme opulence of Lord Hari. They have the same opulence as Lord Hari. They have Satchidananda powers equal to his. But the residents of Vaikuntha do not like to accept such quality with the Lord. They are satisfied simply to worship the Lord with devotion. They travel freely wherever they want, protecting and promoting the cause of the Lord's devotees and the Lord's devotional service. So then, when Parvati started to describe that Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee, goddess of fortune, then Narad Muni wanted to go to Vaikuntha. But then Lord Shiva stopped him. And he told Narad, actually, Prahlad is the greatest devotee of the world. And he started to describe, "Don't you remember that the Lord of Vaikuntha is living right now on earth in Dwarka? And Prahlad," he described that Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest devotee of the Lord. Considered him to be the Lord's most beloved devotee. But what more about this can I say in the presence of Gauri, the close friends of Goddess Lakshmi? Go quickly to Shutala, offer Prahlad your countless blessings, embrace him and tell him, I embrace him again and again. Unfortunately, that best of saintly persons will not tolerate our bowing down to him or praising him. If you want to avoid getting into trouble, do not neglect this fact." So, in this way, when Narad Muni went to Lord Shiva, being directed by Brahma, Lord Shiva actually told him that he is not the greatest devotee. The greatest devotee are the residents of Vaikuntha. And among all the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi's position is the highest. But then, Lord Shiva pointed out that the devotion of Prahlad is even greater than the devotion of the residents of Vaikuntha. So, actually I'm trying to go a little fast, not getting into elaborate descriptions, because if I do that, then I don't think I'll be able to go anything beyond the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how many of you have the copies of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which has been translated by Gopi Paranandana Prabhu, our very dear God brother? And that Brihad Bhagavatamrita has three volumes. Now, first part is one volume. And how many pages each volume has? Each volume has about 1,000 pages. Some even has 1,100 pages. So first part has one volume and second part has two volumes. So anyway, I will try to cover the first part tomorrow so that I can have 2.5 sessions for the second part. Does anybody have any question? I keep some time for the questions, because I've seen many devotees have many questions, and this question answer session are very important. From the writing I can make out this is from Udayananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. 14 Indras and 14 Manus during one day of Brahma. Are there also 14 Chandras, Suryas, Vayu, etc. during one day of Brahma? Then it would seem only Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the only ones who live for the entire lifespan of the universe. So none of the demigods are eternal. No, the demigods in the heavenly planets are also, they live a long time. Only at the time of annihilation they go back. Like annihilation also are of mainly two types, partial annihilation and total annihilation. There are again various partial annihilations also. Like for example, at the end of the yugas, there are annihilations and a new yuga begins. Satya Treta Dapar Kali. And again Satya begins. That's a partial annihilation. Another partial annihilation is at the end of Brahma's day. At Brahma's night, everything dissolves. Like all the way up to heavenly planet, they all dissolve. But the upper planetary systems, like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, they don't get destroyed. But the sages from Maharloka, at the time of annihilation, such heat is generated that they cannot stay in Maharloka. So they go to Janaloka. And at the time of Brahma's night, they fall asleep. And when Brahma wakes up, they also wake up. And then ultimately every living entity from the universe goes, leaves this universe where at the end of Brahma's life. Then the universe dissolves. And as you asked, yes, when the cycle changes, Manu's cycle change, the whole set changes. The whole set changes. Indra, Chandra, Varun, new one, new set comes. In that respect, we give an example of in a factory, the way shift changes, and every shift has a foreman, right? The leader of the shift. And so Manu is the foreman, right? And just as in a factory, different machines there, one machine man goes, the other machine man in the shift takes over. So different responsibilities are taken over by different personalities, different demigods. Yeah, you have any question?
Spirit souls, right?
Yeah.
14 different persons.
Yeah. 14 different sets of individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
So they don't live for the entire lifetime of karma.
That doesn't mean they die at that time. They leave their position.
They fall back to earth? Or?
No, they remain. Most of them remain in the heavenly planet. But, you know, like, say, for example, the shift changes. But that doesn't mean they, at the end of the shift, the machine man dies. Right? So, Indra, Chandra, Purun, they continue to live. They don't die. That's not the end of their lives. They remain in the heavenly planets. They just change their position. Yeah. Like say for example, Bali Maharaj is now there. He's in Sutala Loka. In the next Manantar, Bali Maharaj will become Indra. Yeah.
So, the people that rise to heaven, Prabhupada says that they live for 60,000 years, 60,000, sometimes a million years. Those are not the demigods, they're just residents of heaven.
Yeah, the residents of heaven, their living entities are elevated there due to their pious deeds. By acquiring pious activities, they're elevated there. But when their pious activities are finished, kshine punne marta lokang vishanti. When the pious piety is finished, then they come back to the earth planet, fall down to the earth planet.
Prabhupada says the demigods are mixed devotees, not pure devotees.
Yeah.
Motivated by.
Mainly karma vishra bhaktis. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, next question is Gita Kirti Radhika. Dear Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for such detailed explanation of the higher and lower planetary systems and the lifespan of Brahma. You mentioned when Brahma sleeps during his night consisting of 1000 Chaturyuga, all lower planets are destroyed and everyone in higher planets also go to sleep and wake up when Brahma wakes up. So, is Bhulaka also sleeping every other 1000 Chaturyugas since Bhuloka comes under higher planetary systems? Yeah, like at that time, all the living entities, you know, they fall asleep. Right? Like Bhuloka is earth planet, not only earth planet, all the way up to heavenly planet it is. Alright? This one is from Shaili. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Why did Indra distribute his sins to different aspects? You see, he commits sinful activities sometimes. Like, for example, he killed Vritrasura. He killed Tashta and Abrahmana. So the result of, as a result of that, the sins affected him, but he had to become purified. Therefore, different aspects, like different personalities and different things, took those sins to free Indra of a sinful reaction. Alright? Does Indra have to suffer for these sins he distributed? Yes. Sometimes, as I mentioned, Indra had to run away from heaven. He loses his position in heaven and he suffers. Those who live in Lord Shiva's planet are all liberated souls. That means the ghosts are liberated. So, good point. The ghosts are the followers of Lord Shiva. They are not the resident of Lord Shiva's planet. They all are residents of this planet. Ujjain has many of them. Because Lord Shiva is here as Mahakaleshwar. So, Lord Shiva is so merciful that those who are, he is a hope for the hopeless. Those who are absolutely hopeless, Lord Shiva is their hope. But what to speak of the devotees? The devotees of the Lord are very dear to Lord Shiva. When the devotees go to Mahakal temple and chant the glory of the Lord, Lord Shiva becomes very, very happy. Hare Krishna. Some more questions? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Questions from Aishwaryeshwari Devidasi. We can see that such great devotees of Krishna are so humble. Oh, these are the ones I didn't see. We can see that such great devotees of Krishna are so humble. Kindly explain how practical it is to be humble as a devotee in this modern world. Devotees are devotees, whether in the modern world or primitive world or future world. They are always very humble. You see, as the heart becomes purified, one becomes more and more humble. It is when the heart is afflicted with impurities, like lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy and pride, then one cannot become humble. One becomes what is opposite to humbleness. Arrogant. So, generally materialistic people are arrogant, whereas spiritually inclined individuals are humble. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Vashahishna. Devotee's business is to become more humble than a blade of grass. More humble than a blade of grass. Can you imagine what it is like? Blade of grass lying on the street. Everyone is trampling, putting a foot on it. Does the grass protest? No. But to become more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant and as tolerant as a tree, that is what is expected out of a devotee. There's a Hindi question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Aapne bahut achhi class di. This is from Dilip Das. Where is Dilip? Okay. Aapne bahut achhi class di. आपने बताया भगवान के चार रूप हैं, संकर्षण, वासुदेव, प्रद्युम्न, अनिरुद्ध। क्या वो हमेशा बने रहते हैं? तो किसके बाद भी एलस की? ओ प्रलय। अच्छा व्हाट इज, ओ अच्छा प्रलय, प्रलय ओके या ओके। हाँ, ये भगवान के जो चतुर्भुवा है, भगवान के सारे अवतार, भगवान के सारे जो विस्तार, सब नित्य है। नाश केवल भौतिक जगत में होता है, आध्यात्मिक जगलोक में, वैकुंठ धाम में, चिन्मय जगत में कभी नाश नहीं होता है, सब नित्य है। यानी आत्मा भी नित्य है। भगवान के अवतार के बात क्या, हम सब भी नित्य है। ये शरीर केवल नाशवान है, आत्मा नित्य है। हाँ, प्रलय की बात भी, हम भी रहेंगे, शरीर का नाश होगा। मृत्यु किसका होता है दिलीप? मृत्यु किसका होता है? अच्छा, तो शरीर में जीवन क्यों रहता है? शरीर में जीवन क्यों रहता है, जिंदा रहता है शरीर क्यों? आत्मा के कारण है ना। तो आत्मा जब शरीर छोड़ के चला जाता है तो शरीर का मृत्यु होता है। आत्मा का मृत्यु होता है नहीं, लेकिन हमको पहचानना होगा कि हम सब स्वरूप में आत्मा है। ये शरीर हमारा एक बाहर की आवरण है, जैसे हम कपड़ा पहनते हैं वैसे ही हम ये शरीर पहने हुए हैं। कपड़ा पुराना होने से हम क्या करते हैं, कपड़ा उतार के नया कपड़ा पहनते हैं। वैसे ही जब ये शरीर पुराना हो जाएगा तो ये शरीर पुराना शरीर छोड़कर हम नया शरीर पहनेंगे। तो यहां कौन नया शरीर पहनेंगे? आत्मा। और ये आत्मा ही हम हमारा स्वरूप। There's a question from Shubham. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, can you please clarify whom does Lord Shiva meditate on? Yeah, I briefly mentioned that Lord Shiva is meditating on Shankarshan. He is always meditating on Shankarshan. We see Lord Shiva is chanting in beads. He is chanting the name of, holy name of Lord Shankarshan. There are different pastimes showing he is sometimes meditating on Lord Rama or sometimes Lord Mahaprabhu or Lord Jagannath. Is there a particular form of the Lord that he constantly meditates on? This Rama that is mentioned here is Balaram. Balaram Ram. So, who is non-different from Shankar? Actually, Balaram, Shankarshan, Ananta, same. So Lord Shiva is meditating on them. There is a question from the internet, from Tarun Kanti Krishna Das. Guru Maharaj, as Lord Brahma, Indra mentioned, they have troubled Lord Krishna instead of serving him nicely. Sometimes I feel I am also causing trouble to devotees rather than serving them nicely or pleasing them due to my anarthas, and feel lower or disappointed. How to accept such situations? Your insignificant servant. Yeah, so if you feel that you are troubling the devotees, what should you do? Tarun Kanti Krishna Das, Should you continue to trouble them or stop troubling them? If you feel that you're causing trouble, don't cause trouble. And later on when you remember you have caused some trouble, then you lament. Just as Indra and Brahma are doing. Bibhu Chaitanya Das, main matter of Gita in middle sixth chapter, according to analogy of a book with covers on both sides. Does this rule apply to Srimad Bhagavatam also? Not really, because Srimad Bhagavatam is gradually going to the 10th canto, which is the ultimate aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. In that respect, Srimad Bhagavatam has been compared to the body of the Lord. 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are 12 limbs of the body of the Lord. First two cantos are His lotus feet. Third and fourth cantos are His thighs. Fifth canto is His abdomen. Sixth canto is His chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are His arms. Ninth canto is His neck. Tenth canto is His face. 11th canto is His forehead. And 12th canto is His head. So in the body, comprising of 12 limbs, which part is most important? How do you recognize a person? By seeing his hand? By seeing his feet? Yeah, you can. If his feet are lotus feet, then you can recognize him. But the way to recognize a person is by seeing his face. And the 10th canto is giving the actual description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, another question is there. Devashish Krishna. So how it is possible, because where is Devashish? Because as demons give trouble to the residents of Vrindavan and their Vaishnavas, they are committing Vaishnava aparad. No, the demons are not Vaishnavas. In Krishna's pastimes, sometimes some daityas like Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, are devotees of Krishna. But not that the demons of Vrindavan are Vaishnavas or devotees. Oh, I see. There is actually the question was on the other side. Please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you so much for your wonderful and nectarian class. My question is, as you mentioned in morning session, that all demons of Krishna's pastimes went to Vaikuntha or liberated. Not all. Some went, some did not. Like as I mentioned, Keshi is there, Kaliya is there, Arishta is there. So this is how some demons who are in Krishna's pastimes, in the earthly pastimes, they were elevated to Vrindavan. But not all. Now next question, I'll take this as the last question for today. Maybe I can take another question if there is, otherwise we'll go into Kirtan. This is from Ratan Chakravarti. In daily activities of Lord Krishna, he plays chess, hunting, meditating, so on. In meditation, to whom does he meditate? Yes. As he is acting as a Kshatriya warrior. That's why sometimes he plays dice. Sometimes he goes to hunt. And in the morning, it has been described, when Krishna gets up, he meditates. He meditates on himself. Because he is the object of everyone's meditation. So, he is, by these activities, Krishna is setting the right standard. He is teaching us what we should do. Every morning when we wake up, we should offer prayers to the Lord, meditate upon His transcendental form, and pray to Him that we can remember Him the whole day, and we can receive His mercy. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.